Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. So could you explain to us a little bit more about how this this process of seaweeding algae and then deploying the larvae actually works?
Yes. So what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks at Magnetic Island, and as you said, Magnetic Island is just off Townsville in North Queensland, and it's in the central part of the Great Barrier Reef. And what we've seen over decades is that increasing numbers of algae are smothering some of those reef systems, and therefore it's making it harder and harder for corals to actually recover from the bleaching events, etc., that have occurred. So what has been happening is a big collaborative project. So colleagues from James Cook University in Townsville have been doing some long-term work removing seaweed from some experimental plots, and this at the moment is quite small scale. We're just trying to test what happens when you remove seaweed and you add coral larvae in. So it's a longer term process that we're aiming for, but in the short term experiment initially, the James Cook University team have removed the seaweed, and then my team from Southern Cross University have been combining with colleagues at the Australian Institute of Marine Science in Townsville. We've been growing some millions of larvae, and then we put the larvae back and are monitoring their settlement rate initially. And then over time, over coming months and years, we're hoping to see these baby corals grow into full adult corals and eventually start to spawn.
According to scientists working on the transplanting of coral, we've seen around Magnetic Island, I understand, the outer shelf and mid-shelf reefs in good condition. However, is this sort of still an ongoing threat, these algae blooms?
Yeah, so there's a really mixed outcome in terms of reef condition on the Great Barrier Reef. As we know, in 2016 and 2017, mass bleaching occurred over two successive years, and that killed an estimated more than half of the corals in the northern part and the far northern part of the Great Barrier Reef, and again impacted some of the reefs in the central Great Barrier Reef. Some of the reefs were spared in terms of how much impact there was from those bleaching events. So on some reefs, we still have some really good thriving coral communities, but in other reef systems, there was almost catastrophic wipeout of coral. And so when you look on average across some of the areas, certainly in the central Great Barrier Reef, on average, the percentage of corals on those reefs has declined over time. So it is an ongoing problem. The loss of corals is not only occurring on the Great Barrier Reef, but in just about all other reef systems around the world. And when you combine that with increased nutrients and things like increased sediment and poor water quality, which occurs on the inner part of the Great Barrier Reef, that's when the algae start to take over and proliferate, and they can totally dominate the system.
On a similar project in the Philippines, their coral larvae had grown, it says, to dinner plate-sized coral in 3 years. Under the conditions we're looking at in the Great Barrier Reef, can we expect the same sort of explosive growth, or can we see the same kind of explosive growth?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We don't know the answer yet. I've been leading the teams in the Philippines, and what we have, as you said, is some really exciting outcomes where, at least in the small-scale pilot projects that we started, we're seeing really rapid growth of some of the surviving corals, getting up to about dinner plate-sized corals, and being sexually reproductive and producing eggs and sperm, which develop into larvae, which then drift around and start to colonise other parts of the reef and start to repair it. What we're doing now in the Philippines and aiming for on the Great Barrier Reef is to get to much larger scales, at least hectare scales, and in the next few years, hopefully kilometre scales restoration. And the initial results we're seeing from the work I've been leading on the Great Barrier Reef shows similar trends. We don't yet know whether or not we'll get those same very fast growth rates on the more turbid inshore reefs like Magnetic Island, but we're hoping that we'll at least see surviving corals get through to reproductive size within 3 to 4 years.
And I think it's inevitable. I mean, if we're talking about threats to reef systems and the like, you've got to chalk climate change and sort of rising temperatures in our oceans. Unfortunately, that is the case. In terms of the sensitivity of this kind of ecosystem, what kind of figures are we actually relying on, I guess, when it comes to the climate change, the spectre of climate change in coming years?
Yeah, what we do know is that coral reefs are incredibly sensitive to climate change.
Mm-hmm.
It's been predicted from all the scientific models and all the work that's been done literally for decades. There's been no doubt about the potential threat of climate change. what we're seeing now is the impact of climate change, almost identical to what we all predicted some decades ago. Corals have this really important symbiosis with literally millions of microscopic algae in their tissues. And those algae just act like the land plants around us do. They capture the sun's energy, use photosynthesis to create sugars, which create the energy for the corals to grow their skeletons fast enough to build reefs. What happens, however, when you increase the sea temperatures above their normal environmental tolerance limit is that interaction between the algae and the coral tissue breaks down. As a result of that, you get bleaching, and in many cases, the corals run out of energy, their tissues die, and that's where you get the mass mortality event. So we know this is a really significant threat. We know that our oceans are warming significantly, and we know that corals are under increasing pressure from climate change. So what we're trying to do with the restoration process at the moment is to preserve the remaining genetic diversity that's present in the surviving population and buy enough time so that hopefully within coming decades we will start to reverse the impacts of climate change and the trajectory of increasing warming.
Well, we hear so many, obviously concerns exactly like that, but obviously this project, it is terrific to hear some good news, some solutions actually being in place for some of the other things we're looking at. Peter, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you.